Thanks, Pastor Paul, for the microphone. Well, today we celebrate Reformation Day, and it's very dark in here. Could I get the lights up a little, please? Thank you. Today we celebrate Reformation Day, and that's why we have some fun balloons reminding us of the Spirit of God that came into our church to help reform it. And it all started way back almost 500 years ago. But before this happened, there was only one church. You wouldn't go church shopping when you came to a town. You wouldn't ask somebody if they were Christian what church they went to. You would know because there was only one Roman Catholic church. You didn't get to choose if you wanted traditional or contemporary. You didn't get to choose what you believed. You couldn't even read the Bible for yourself. The Bible didn't exist in English or German or any other language that most people could read. People were taught that they could buy their way into heaven through these pieces of paper called indulgences. Things were corrupt. The poor were being taken advantage of by the church instead of helped by it, and that was not good. So on this day, we celebrate that things were changed. There were many people who helped bring this change about, but at the center of it all was Martin Luther, a priest, a professor, a normal man who just couldn't sit by and allow this to continue. He wanted people to be able to read the Bible for themselves. He wanted people to know God's truth because, as we heard in that reading from John today, the truth sets us free. Something many people don't realize about Martin Luther is that he didn't actually want to start a new church. He wanted to reform the Catholic Church, but things didn't work out that way, and the door was opened for new ideas, new churches, and a new world. Christianity, there's Martin Luther. Christianity is the largest religion in the world today. According to the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, in 2010, there were 2.18 billion Christians around the world, nearly a third of the whole global population. Just to give you a few stats of in our country, almost 80% of the country is Christian. In Brazil, 90%, and in Mexico, 95% of people are Christian. There are now approximately 41,000 Christian denominations and organizations. And the Reformation was the beginning of this diversity. It's one of the most significant events in history. And on this day, we're going to talk a little bit about what our flavor of Christianity is. What makes us, as Lutherans, who we are? As we think about that, I want to look at the gospel reading from today, where Jesus says, "The truth will make you free." Freedom is a big thing for us as Americans, isn't it? Religious freedom is one of the reasons this country exists, and it's still something that we hold as one of our top values. Freedom to worship, freedom of speech, freedom to choose our career, our spouse, where we want to live. We like our choices and independence. But there is a freedom that came to the world long before the pilgrims came to America, and it's that freedom that we had through Jesus Christ. Before there was Christ, there were a lot of rules that people had to follow, otherwise face up to God. And here I'm going to take us through some of the laws in the Bible that just to kind of give us a picture of how hard it is for us to follow all these laws if we tried to follow them all today. Well, here is one of the things that the Bible, maybe, can I get the next slide, please, prohibits, which is, every time I make a PowerPoint, thank you, okay, round haircuts. Sorry, everybody out there who had a bowl cut. Leviticus 19:27 reads, "You shall not round off the side growth of your heads, nor harm the edges of your beard." So, there you have it. Next, sorry, Aaron Rodgers. In Leviticus 18, it says, "You shall not eat of pig flesh or touch their carcasses. They are unclean to you." So, all that time spent around throwing a football better be followed by confession. And you're doubly breaking that if you have a brat and go play football. or enter a greased pig contest at the county fair. Sorry, Miss Cleo. I think she died, didn't she? Okay, anyway, before you call a 900 number, do people still do that? Read your horoscope or check or crack open a fortune cookie. You are going to be in big trouble, so know what you're getting into. Leviticus 19:31 reads, "Do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." The penalty for that is found in Leviticus 20, verse 6. "As for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against them and cut them off from among their people." Seems like a pretty harsh penalty for talking to Miss Cleo. Next, this is going to be a tough one. Tattoos. Leviticus 19:28 reads, "You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord." Now please don't come and show me your tattoos after worship. I don't want to see them. Next one. Polyester or any other fabric blend. The Bible does not want you to wear polyester, not just because it can look cheap. It's also sinfully unnatural. I'm probably wearing it right now. I'm definitely wearing a poly cotton blend, as I'm sure many of you are. Leviticus 19:19 reads, "You are to keep my statutes. You shall not breed together two kinds of your cattle, nor you shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed, nor wear a garment upon you of two kinds of material mixed together." So if you check your shirt tag right now, you might be in mid-sin as we speak. Next, wearing gold. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, "Does not like your gold necklace, ladies," sorry to say, "or men, or your pearl necklace." It says, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair, and gold or pearls or costly garments." Finally, Leviticus 11:10 reads, "Whatever is in the seas and in the rivers that does not have fins and scales among all the teeming life of the water and among all the living creatures that are in the water, they are detestable things to you." So, sorry, Red Lobster. No more shrimp cocktail at Christmas. So, some of the laws in the Bible are strange, for sure. This is just a fun way to show that all those different things that it would be nearly impossible to live by. We've just had a sampling of them. Some of these laws that God gave were given for good reason to help differentiate God's people from others. But as we know, it is impossible to keep all of God's laws or any laws all of the time. It's just not an achievable goal. That is why God sent Jesus. He came to fulfill the law, to say that it's all taken care of. We don't have to worry anymore if we can't follow all God's laws. That doesn't mean we can just do whatever we want. So many of God's laws are there to help us. You know, those ones about not lying, cheating, stealing, killing people, not to mention not being jealous of others. Those are good words to live by. But we can't or don't always live by them. And when we can't or don't, Jesus takes care of that for us, and we don't have to worry. When Martin Luther realized that God was gracious and forgiving, changing the way he related to us in order to bring us closer to God, it changed him and our world forever. It was literally revolutionary. Martin Luther was a monk, a man who dedicated his life to God. He studied God's word, and he did everything he could to follow all of those laws. But each day he broke some law, and he became extremely depressed and angry with God for feeling like God set up these rules that were just impossible to follow. Until one day he read this verse that changed his life. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." And that's from Ephesians 1. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. God knows that we belong with him, and he gives us that wonderful gift of grace and freedom from sin. Grace means that when we fall short, we can know our salvation isn't about what we do. It's about what God does for us through Jesus. Because we can be a wonderful person, but we can never be perfect. But when we're joined to Christ through our baptism, through our faith, we become perfect in God's eyes. My favorite author, Anne Lamott, says grace meets us where we are, but it doesn't leave us where it found us. Grace changes us, and it changes our world. Maybe you have experienced that before in your life, the amazing power of grace and forgiveness. Grace is what makes us really special. It's our flavor of Lutheran Christianity. And if they had a flavor at Baskin-Robbins called grace, I think it would probably taste pretty good. So I want you to think a moment now about what needs transforming in your life. What needs grace? Maybe you need to extend grace to somebody. Maybe you need to ask for a little grace from somebody or from God. Take a moment to think about that now, and also to pray and thank God for giving us this wonderful gift of grace through Jesus. Amen.